What's up, fool? What's up, fool? Podcast, quarantine podcast. We're back. This week, we have Edwin San Juan, and always, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
Martin Rizzo, Lisa Esparza, and of course, with the cut-off sleeves, from Slaughter, Before Slaughter, soon to be a documentary coming soon, but behind the scenes, we'll find out why Tanya Estrada didn't just become Jewish instead of joining Slaughter by Slaughter if she got turned down three times.
She auditioned three times.
I don't know why they showed the Joshua tree and what the hell was Martin doing at a Sum 41 concert. All right. That's the Slaughter by Slaughter update. And man, we had a good time talking about Slaughter last week. It was fun. And man, I was pumped up, bro. And Lisa Esparza wearing the t-shirt right now. And if you buy a face mask, the Felipe Esparza face mask, we're going to, that shirt, you get it for free.
What? So, you starting this sale? I haven't even gotten it ready on the website yet.
It doesn't matter. People start buying it. It doesn't matter.
Pop-up shop.
They can't.
If you buy that t-shirt for $20, we'll throw in the free face mask. And that's it, man. And if you just buy, if you just want the face mask, we'll throw in some kind of t-shirt we'll find somewhere. An old t-shirt that I used to wear. But that's
promises,
the t-shirt right there.
Promises.
What's the mask look like?
Is my son at this?
Don't you have one?
Not on me. I'm in the other room.
There's one right behind you in that closet. Oh.
So if you rob a bank and you have long hair, Felipe's going to get arrested.
Oh.
On the right. No. The bottom cabinet. On the right, there's a box full of them in the bags right there. You got it?
Got it. So, I'm going to open this one, but here's a mask right here.
Oh.
It's safe.
My face.
But,
that's,
so, you get that t-shirt, this. $20, and you'll be supporting the podcast. And that way, Martin Rizzo can get a new beanie. That one's oily already.
You don't call me Kai beanie.
Dog. And Rodrigo Torres here behind the red curtain. Oh, man. Thank you, everybody, who watched the specials. Malas Decisiones, Bad Decisions. 190 countries. So far, I've only heard from Dominican Republic.
Not 190,000 subscribers. I mean, 190 million, right?
Oh, yeah, subscribers, yeah.
190 million subscribers, not million countries.
No, because they kept saying 190 countries.
Oh, yeah?
And then every interview I did, they said 190 countries. I said, wow. I hope they all subscribe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I forgot all the stats.
Anyway, let me finish Mushroom Story.
Shut up.
Have you guys seen this movie, man? What's the name of that movie, Lisa?
Murder by Death.
Murder by Death.
It's the best movie.
And that fool plays. It's a mock movie about how they used to do the Fu Manchu, private detective, in the old days.
It's about all sorts of old detectives.
It's like old stereotypes. Like detectives, like the Sherlock Holmes.
It's like the Sam Spade one.
But in this one, it's fucking funny, bro. It's hilarious. You guys gotta watch it. Like, they all go meet up. All the best detectives in the world go meet up at this haunted house. And on the way there, a lot of those fools are dying because you gotta make it inside. Like, you stand somewhere. And like a ball falls on you and you die, you know? So it's a crazy ass movie.
It's on Netflix?
I don't know how you find it anymore. It's old.
It's called A Murder by Death. And if you ever seen that, if you ever seen another movie Peter Sellers does, it's called like The Revenge of the Pink Panther or.
Yeah, Peter Sellers. Like that.
They're fucking hilarious, bro, because like he's like a private detective in France, but at the same time. To keep ready, he has this Chinese guy who's dressed up like Jet Li with a real black mask.
He's and Kato.
This keeps that fool ready, bro. Like, he'd be at a date, and that fool shows up out of nowhere and punches him in the face, dog. And then they start fighting because he has to be ready for a surprise. So at the end of some movie I saw, fool, that Asian dude, he fucking blows up the whole building, dog. But it's funny, dude. You gotta watch
that. The Pink Panther, that's when he's the Detective Clouseau. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I never got into those movies, but I started watching them lately.
I was little when I saw that.
I didn't think that shit was funny.
No, The Revenge of the Pink Panther is one of my favorite movies. Yeah. When he goes to the dentist. Classic. He goes to the dentist and they have too much nitrous oxide getting out of the air. And they can't stop laughing. Yeah. And he pretends to be a dentist. So he pulls the wrong tooth, but they're just still dying laughing because they're laughing.
I think I was mad because it said Pink Panther. There's no fight. Yeah, when I was a kid, you know? Like, what the fuck is this?
I was
mad, dude.
It's in the walls, like, bro.
Pink Panther showing up with a coat.
I was mad, dude.
I was looking for Chester Cheetos.
With the cold ass house, no insulation.
Yeah, I remember Pink Panther. Like, my older brothers and sisters, they were like laughing their asses off, and I was like, "What's so funny?" It's not that it was like white people humor. Like, what?
I like how the song would start, and it was like if it was like in a movie, the song the saxophone was longer. You know, it'd be like. What's up, folks? We have Edwin Samuan, who has a residency in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood. Normally, he has 7 shows a week, right?
Yeah, show every night.
Oh, dog. He got you working like a migrant over there doing comedy.
Illegal,
how long have you been in Las Vegas now working?
Like 5 years.
Wow.
Fast.
Time flies.
You started off just doing Planet Hollywood, but now you switch off to other clubs?
No, actually, I still just do Planet Hollywood, but I can play other clubs in the area and stuff like that still, too. They're pretty flexible with me.
How many rooms do they have now?
Say what?
How many rooms does that guy have now?
Oh, who? Matt and Joaquin?
Yes.
They just do that. I wouldn't have got this gig, first of all, if it wasn't for you. Because you're the one that introduced me to them and brought me in, and I started like headlining for them, right? You were like, "Fool, they only want the headliners to do 20 minutes. You could do it, fool."
It was badass, huh? Let me tell you guys, man. Matt and Joaquin, they started off doing Planet Hollywood at Trader Vic's. It was like a Hawaiian style restaurant, like Hawaiian Fire Bowl. Good ass food, good ass host.
Right?
And
they moved around and they were like four queens
for a while, yeah.
I went over there and I thought that I got to do a whole hour to headline. And when I get there, they said, nah, just do 20 minutes. And then what are the opener going to do? 10. And the host? 5.
Damn.
Said, all right, man. I'll try not to go over it.
Yeah, when I first started, I was getting in trouble for doing too much time. They only want shows to run an hour because they want people back in the casino.
They want people back spending, yeah.
Drinking too.
It's them slots.
Do you know that dude that I think he used to run and hustle the tickets for them? Justin?
Justin, yeah. The little guy, little short.
Dustin, little skinny redneck dude.
He used to work the door, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you told me if I needed weed or if I needed anything, he's the guy to hit up.
Yeah, man. That was crazy. He's cool, man. One time he was driving me around eating a T-bone steak.
Damn.
In the car?
Yeah.
You have a Lincoln?
Yeah.
He's short, right? So he's got that little complex. And he drives his car real fast through the parking lot.
He wears cowboy boots. He wears the cowboy boots with the little heel.
Yeah.
And he carries a 45 in his car.
That's an old school Las Vegas cowboy right there.
Hell yeah, bro. They ain't going to rob me twice. that's his motto. They ain't gonna rob me twice. Edwin, we known Edwin a very long time. Actually, Edwin is Rodrigo's godfather for his confirmation.
Yeah, man.
I'm such a terrible godfather, man.
Really?
I know, bro. I would show up and like I see a little kid leave all high. And go, who is that? Oh, I'm gonna be his godfather for the confirmation. My nephew.
Wait, Edwin is your godfather?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodrigo never got confirmed. He got
he sponsored.
Really?
Yeah.
So. I got confirmed at 25.
Oh, and then wow. Really?
Because I met Edwin first, and then I met Felipe. He introduced me to Felipe, but Felipe met me real quick and took off with a girl.
What's that like to be confirmed at 25? I mean, I don't know anything about Catholicism.
Confirmed is something you got to do as a Catholic.
That's the final step.
We have to, Lisa.
You don't have to.
We have to.
If you're a Catholic soldier like myself.
You have to.
What else do you do that's Catholic penance, soldier like?
Right? Being you get kind. One last one when you die at the penance.
Yeah, there's seven of them.
Seven what? Of them. Seven?
You get married in the Catholic Church unless you're like confirmed.
Isn't there another one where it's kind of crazy though, where it could be the confirmation where the priest wets your feet with holy water.
Anointing.
Oh, I think, yeah, that could be one of the things. I know baptism is, that's not with the feet, it's with the head.
The head.
Yeah.
They dunk your head in.
But dude, you were the only guys that knew about religion, dude. Because on your rehab days, all those stories about Jesus and how people misrepresent that. And then Edwin, dude, he's the only fool that I knew that prayed, dog. like I was like, yeah, the rosary and everything. Set, bro.
I remember Edwin.
Joe Diaz too, though. Joe Diaz.
Yeah. He'll get religious on you when he gets. Yeah, dog.
I remember Edwin would be like walking with the blood, doing the rosary.
Man, I was. You know, Felipe's sister-in-law. She asked me. I was the last person that she asked because everybody else said no.
Damn.
To be her third daughter, her last daughter's godmother. So nobody else wanted to. So I was like, yeah, I guess. But then after I said yeah, I was like, wait a minute, do I have to be Catholic? Wait, do I have to be? Then I'm like, no, I didn't take a fucking classes. But I already know a lot of religion. I'm just not Catholic. But I'm not religious at all. I don't believe in God. So now, I mean, I think that's a problem, right? She just said, oh, they don't care. She just was like, they don't care about that. And I was like, okay, but I didn't know anything I was doing for this.
Lisa didn't know she had to buy a dress.
Huh?
You had to buy her dress.
Buy that dress.
I bought the dress and I bought her a gold necklace with a thing, with a cross on it.
That's the thing over there.
You didn't have like spiritual guidance.
I don't offer
nothing too religious
all.
Or, I don't know.
I don't offer her that.
What I was going to add, and tell you guys that over there in downtown in LA, Olvera Street, they don't. You don't have to be like, you know, if you go to a regular church, the godparents or whatever have to go through classes and do all that stuff. And there, I guess they cater to like the immigrant community where like, you know, you can do it real quick and don't have to have all those regulations.
Nobody has time or connections.
Exactly. There you go.
Social security cards.
Yeah, we did it at Dolores Mission at his old church, that little tiny church in Boyle Heights. So. Who knows what the hell's going on there?
I went through all the sacraments. I did all that stuff, and then I end up getting married in Vegas in the courthouse.
Hey, well, you know what? We just saw her right now. She's dressed like a nun, so it's
good. Yeah.
that's her. Penis.
I don't know if she's working on a TikTok or an OnlyFans. I get them mixed up.
wait, does she have that?
Yeah.
Does she have an account? Really? Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Raking it up.
Blowing it up. I mean,
is the money good
this month?
I have one for sick people, only bands.
I need to start one.
And when you started comedy the same, like, same year as me, like 94, 95, or afterwards?
No, around the same time. I think my first set at the Laugh Factory was like 95 or 96 at the Latino night. But then, we met like through Jeff and Willie, huh?
Yeah, man. I remember, man, Willie Barcena took me to do a gig in Coachella. And then I guess he was too much money or they wanted me. I came back and do it the next year and I took you, remember? We did a special Red Ribbon Week, people. Remember that? It was drug awareness. And I was sober, anti-drug. By the way. I was 100% sober. And I don't know what anyone did.
I just said, I used to smoke weed. But when you do those Red Ribbon ones, it's always like, in the past, I used to.
I struggle, just like you guys.
Dude, they gave us a hotel, one hotel. It was like Quinta Inn. We drove.
Yeah, you have a good memory.
We drove in a little Toyota 4Runner. I remember that we went to go gamble before the show. Oh, the night before the show, we went to go gamble. They left like little Native Americans on our bed, bro. We thought it was a curse. But there was a little story that they're supposed to give you good luck. And there was only one bed. So we got that that big old rolling thing that they put on the edge of the bed, and we put it in the middle. We sit on the same bed, the same
bolster.
And Felipe still reached over.
Yeah, man. We were like, hey, man, where's your other hand? Hey! How about the Raiders? Huh? This show was a junior high school, Coachella Junior High School.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that.
And
it was all kids, bro. All kids. Eighth graders and ninth graders. We did an 8 o'clock show, a 10 o'clock show, and a show before lunch.
Was it dirty?
No.
All the groupies were teachers and teacher assistants at the end of the
show. There was one really fine student assistant. Remember? She was like, dang.
She was like, did you get lunches? She was wearing open shorts and flat sandals, bro.
Yeah.
And sandals that she used those sandals for everything. Laundry, Magic Mountain.
That was very warm. She had to be clean too, right?
We had to be extremely clean.
Yeah, and cafeterias. And they would just ship off the next batch of students.
They were dying, these kids. I don't remember anything what I said.
What year was this?
98.
Yeah, so we're probably only like three or four years in, huh?
Yeah, man.
I was in elementary. Yeah.
And I remember, man, that they had paid me. And I tried to pay Edwin, and he said, nah, man, I had a good time. That's how young he was.
That's how dumb I was.
All right, cool, bro.
End of lesson, Doc.
Hell yeah.
Much for me, Doc.
Man. And then,
those are some of the best things, though, that I remember, like backyard parties and, you know what I mean?
Remember Watsonville?
Oh, yeah. All those small towns, right? They're all on fire right now.
Whenever I go to San Jose and do shows over there, or I mention Watsonville and I mention the little towns where I perform, fools that remember, bro, they fucking go crazy, bro, when you do a little local reference like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man, Watsonville, little Pajaro. We did a show in Cilantros.
Yeah.
And people hear it on the radio and they go, oh, shit, this fool knows what's up. And
I remember that. Cilantros, the paint on the walls looked like vomit.
Yeah, man.
But cilantro,
cilantro, bro. Hey, man. So, what have you been up to, man? Since in Vegas, you got married. You had one daughter, right?
Yeah, I got one daughter, and I have a stepdaughter. She lives in Texas.
What? I thought she lived with you guys.
My stepdaughter, she comes in like on the holidays and the summer vacation and stuff like that. Yeah, but she's like 11. We have the same birthday.
Is that hard for your wife to be without her daughter? That's really tough. That's a long distance.
Yeah, it's tough. Oh, I mean, it was San Diego before, but then her dad got a job out there, so it is tough on her. I don't want to be away from my daughter.
I don't know. I don't know how people do that. Yeah, that's tough.
Brutal.
But I've been doing good, man. I just quarantined out. It's been like 176 days.
Isn't that crazy, dude?
Crazy.
Yeah. Damn, bro.
We've done more time not working than working this year.
I know. And you know what? I've always dreamed of like doing nothing. And, like, now my dream came true and I don't like it.
Kind of sucks, dog.
I'm still doing stuff. I don't have those days, though. That I see people doing stuff where they've run out of things to do. And I have so much shit still to do. I'm just swamped every day because I work at home. So this is just the same for me. But yeah. I really wish I could have a day where I don't have shit to do at all. This weekend.
You don't want it. You don't want it.
I want to be bored. I haven't been bored since I was like 15. I wish I could be bored all day. Like watch a bunch of movies and run out of social media to check. I don't have those days.
I've mastered the art of boredom. I can masturbate after I masturbate.
You're like a TikTok star now though, huh? You're like the TikTok family.
It's fun. We have fun doing it, but it's like my wife does it and she gets like a million views and then I just like lose all motivation to do any new ones. Like, this sucks. Let her have it. But she's been doing good. I mean, she's actually like viral.
Making money now, right? On TikTok?
And then she started an OnlyFans account and then she paid mortgage this month.
That's crazy, dude.
So wait, is she paying taxes on that OnlyFans money?
Yeah, well, you she do, put right? money aside
set,
for it.
Set it aside. Yeah, set it
yeah,
aside.
Yeah, gotta set it aside.
So is she? So wait, on that account, I can't say that because somebody's here. But on that account, how far does she go?
I mean,
because everybody's is different, right?
Well, like read my lips.
Levels of
or read her lips.
That's funny, man. Because. You know what? I saw a funny meme on.
I think I saw the same one too. If you're talking
on Snapchat, and there was a picture of a girl, and it showed her blouse and her shorts. It was my regular page. And then it showed her only fan page. It was the same blouse, but closer.
That's funny, dog.
I heard that this guy was like using his ex girlfriend's pictures and started OnlyFans and started making all his money. Yeah, dude.
That's like the best revenge.
Yeah.
To get paid.
Profit revenge.
Yeah. To make money off of it.
Oh, and man. I heard that some guys they use a filter on Snapchat and they trick guys to like get like a like OnlyFans.
That's like fools getting tricked by trannies, bro. Same shit.
Transgender.
Oh, sorry.
I think somebody like they fool people on OnlyFans with a trick photo. Then he goes, the next photo is my pussy, and it's a real cat.
I would like to know.
Legs.
In a little suit.
There's a certain percentage of people that do that, and I think just to get that quick buck or two.
Right.
But my wife, she treats her people really well, and she gets repeat people coming back. And she's like, people are sending us stuff on Amazon. She's like,
that's cool, man.
It's like, it's pretty crazy.
Do you guys do videos together?
She's making as much money as I was making when I was doing the V Theater.
Oh wow!
Now, I mean, it started slow, but it's built up to where it's every month it's getting even more and more. It's like it's pretty wild.
If the
pandemic wasn't happening, we'd be really sitting pretty.
Do you know if she has a lot of female fans? Because I've always wondered how many women are on that site.
I think she does, but she has her niche because she's playing like stepmom or older mom.
TikTok, they come over.
Huh? What happened?
Oh, because of TikTok, do they come over?
No, but she'll do a TikTok and it'll get a million views, and then next thing you know, she gets like 200 new subscribers on her OnlyFans, like.
That's crazy. Even if you get 10%, 10% is usually like if you get something that goes, it's a lot of hits, roughly about 10% is going to be payoff. Like ticket sales, like you get a bunch of people commenting and being active on a post. We're going to go, let's invite so and so. We're going to go to that show, let's buy tickets. There's lots of chit chat.
Engagement.
But really, only about 10% of that audience is going to actually buy tickets and go. They're going to stay on that topic and go to the show. But that's still a good number if you've got high engagement, you know.
So I need
even if it's 50 people to show up.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So I need to make my girlfriend make an OnlyFans then.
I don't know, man, because like, there's some demons. Because, you know, I grew up Catholic and everything. And all, and then now, like, the whole world, whoever subscribes and knows what my wife's, you know, hoo-ha looks like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that out there. I wouldn't want people to know.
I know. That's what I want people to know. And like, she's buying me like Marvel statue figurines. I'm like, you know what?
you're taking it's the pictures out there.
Not enough money for me.
Like,
Felipe needs to start OnlyFans.
I don't think I was for it really, but I was like, if you want to do it, let's go for it. And then next thing you know, she had one up already. I was like, damn, I thought we were just talking about it.
She's like, I didn't really want your permission.
How many fools out there have a lady that they don't know how to have an OnlyFans?
Yeah.
I see some.
At least she's up in the open with me and everything's up. And you know, it's pretty, I don't know. I'm handling it. I didn't think I could handle it. But I'm dealing with it. I lost my hair, but
there's another girl in the OC that does that. She's Cherry Bomb, right? She's married to that tattoo artist, Spider, right?
Oh. Right?
Cherry Bomb, is that her name?
I don't know.
Felipe? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
You know who I'm talking about, Cherry Bomb. fuck. Like I haven't been okay. Anyway.
Oh, the redheaded
she's
lady.
She's got a big account. Yeah. Big account as well. So and her husband is very supportive of it, but it's all out there.
You went to it?
No, but her Instagram's already all out there, so I assume the OnlyFans right. is like
I, I feel like in 5 years it's gonna become so normal for like girls just having OnlyFans.
I know they're gonna be walking around, check out my OnlyFans.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
But you're
that's,
right, Rizzo.
That's funny, man, because that's a good way to get people to go there because you would have called it only perverts. Nobody would have went.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or we all know.
Only horn dogs. Eh? only fat guys with low self-esteem, please.
That's Pornhub.
I have a Pornhub, but I review porno videos. That's what I do.
This guy Francisco on the chat said, "I want Lisa to do an OnlyFans, but just for facts." Hilarious. No, I would never. I couldn't do it.
Because that's all huge right now. OnlyFans. That's like the whole new thing.
It's gonna become normalized for sure. Like in 5-7 years, you know, you don't have one. What's wrong with you, bro? Yeah. You know?
Just think about how crazy. Yeah, like, dude, you have porn, it's free, but dudes are out there, you know, having their own little type of woman paying for them, personally.
Do the porn stars have their own OnlyFans, or do they work out of their webpage?
I think that's why it was created.
Yeah, they started it.
Porn stars were getting ripped off. They weren't getting
And strippers, too, huh?
Stuff like that.
It was
they started this, and this is actually for the artists to get money like that.
There's a lot of dudes out there who are tech-savvy. Wouldn't they try to copy that? The photo or the video, and then put it on Pornhub for likes, and now it goes on Pornhub.
I don't know.
I don't know how the rules are. Could you record? Could you like upload or download?
I think
from OnlyFans
screen record probably.
I heard that there's like some kind of protector like Netflix has.
Yeah, it tells you if you got screenshotted or something like that. But really, how much protection is there? You know,
that's like the next level. Because I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, if you film anything, you put it out there, you got to be expected it's going to come back one way or the other.
So
you got to be able to deal with that.
I remember Jenna Jameson was one of the first to like start her own company, you know, where everything was going to be made by her film company and be on her website and all that stuff. She was always fighting for, you know, these porn stars to try to rein it in and get your own shit, you know.
They're trying to Dr. Dre that and get their own label.
Yeah, so.
But it's crazy because you got to think about like that. Like 10 years ago, like girls in their bikinis on Instagram was crazy, but now that's normal, you know?
Yeah.
It just becomes normal and normal.
Yeah, butt cheeks were like, you know, all you got for free.
I used to jack off to like the Reader's Digest fucking Victoria's Secret fucking ads. Now it's like, how did I do that? You know?
Remember they had that reverse butt cleavage? It was like, that was hot for a while. Did you see the butt crack for a second?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it went from that to
porno. Your collar goes up.
Or that page of who showed nipple?
Oh, Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.
Yeah. It's funny he's called Mr. Skin, but you remember it as who showed nipple?
When I was listening to Howard Stern, the guy who came up with that page was a guest, and this fool went through every movie for every female star to find out which movie she came out naked. So you go to Cameron Diaz, and they go boom, boom, boom. And then whatever, show you what movie. They show a little bit of boob.
Wow. Like Jamie Lee Curtis, and they're like, Halloween.
Yeah.
Or
Trading Places, right?
Trading Places, where she, that's where she shows it. Yeah.
80s titties,
she's
bro.
She's hot. Even as she got matured elder, she still is hot.
That's a good looking lady right there.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis.
I don't, honestly, that's why I asked about if your wife knows how many women are in her fan base on there, because I just don't think women are paying for that shit. Not her, just her. I mean, in general, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's so much perverted dudes.
Yeah, I don't have a need to go pay somebody for stuff that, like, I don't give a shit.
They have a thing where it's called dick rating.
So dick rating?
Yeah, so the girls go and they go, the guy sends a picture of his penis.
Shut
and
they
give him an audio rating of it. Well, Steven,
I that's think on OnlyFans? Shaved
more.
That should be, but that, yeah, should, that web page should be called.
It's a way, like, it's a way for guys to send a dick pic and feel not feel bad about it.
That
be, but yeah, I'm sure that there's a
because like this guy send a dick pic. Oh, it's gross. But here on OnlyFans, you can send your dick pic and the girl will give you a rating of.
It's what still gross. You're just gonna get critiqued about it.
Yeah, you gotta pay for that rating though, right?
Yeah, you gotta get paid.
You gotta pay for the rating. Yeah,
you're paying to expose yourself.
That's again, crazy.
Dudes.
I think it's overrated.
Every day there's
that pay should be called dead pressing.
Every day they're finding new ways to get paid, bro.
Oh, man.
Well, that's crazy.
Somebody said James is going to have an OnlyFans. His nipples will be cut out of his sleeveless flannels.
OnlyFans where he puts on the sleeves on his shirt.
No shirt, just the sleeves.
James looks like a bad guy in those reenactments they have on like an E True Hollywood Story or something.
He looks like a bouncer on Roadhouse.
Exactly, dude.
Edwin, somebody said you should be on Cameo. Are you on Cameo?
What's Cameo?
Cameo is a webpage where fans,
an 80s band.
Fans pay you to tell them happy birthday or give them
a bad.
They pay you for shout outs.
Oh, okay.
You want to tell them?
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't want to tell him. Go ahead, you tell him.
Go ahead, tell him.
No, you.
I'm going to get a glass of water. Go ahead.
Okay. Fans will pay a celebrity different rates depending on what you set as your rate. Okay. So they'll pay like, I want a shout out for my dad. You're my dad's favorite comedian, right? Or they're just, you know, they like you as a fan, and so they want a shout out for their birthday. Or personalized videos. They could be getting married or their wife's anniversary or whatever, and they want you to give their wife a shout out. But I don't know if people have ever hit you up for shout outs, but you can start charging for those things on Cameo. We don't do Cameo, but Fred Stoller, he makes pretty good.
He's killing it, right?
Money,
dude. On TikTok, he's killing it too.
Yeah, so that people are, some woman, Fred said the other day that this couple, they got married with Fred's book as the Bible or as the book like they were quoting from during their wedding. Isn't that strange? And he did a shout out for their wedding.
Dude, just think about that kooky stuff and then just like, that's why OnlyFans make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's just
people are just nuts, bro.
It's easier to make money now than ever, dude.
Hell yeah, dude. And the internet's a vessel for it, dude.
Wow, just technology is just kind of like did a little turn going, okay, we're going this way now, guys. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy, man.
It's wild out there, man, even in San Antonio, man.
Hey, Edwin, when you got started doing stand-up, you were working in juvenile hall as a counselor, huh?
Yeah, group homes.
I remember that. Well, because I knew you were going there every day. Did you ever, do any of those kids ever contact you and say, I remember you. You were funny then.
Yeah, I've had a few people come to my shows, actually.
That's cool.
And there are a few, though, but they're success stories. You know, they've got jobs and they're, like, productive members of society. When they were looked at, as like they weren't going to make it. So
that's cool.
It's kind of cool to have a connection with people like that, you know? And then to feel like, oh, there. I had a part in that. And then they always said, yeah, you were funny because I connected with the kids really well. Was the other staff members, like, they didn't respect them. But, you know, they didn't respect the kids, so the kids didn't give respect back. But yeah. When you sneak in humor in there, it's like, it works really, really, it was really cool. I did really well.
I remember that you would stay late there and then go do a comedy show from there. You would go to, Daily Planet.
Yep, around the corner. But I would work 10 hour shifts, and then the kids would want me to take them to the store afterwards. So I would take them on little walks and stuff. I was just like hooked on them, man. You don't get paid well, but it just sucks, man. And then a lot of these the other workers would read the kids' files, and they would like judge them all messed up. But I just made it a point not
to read the kids' files. Before they even got to know them.
Just get to know
them. Those files are judgmental already.
Yeah, who knows who wrote all that stuff on their stuff, you know.
Mad bias in there, dude.
Hey, some of these kids are very, like you look at them, and they're very influential, like, to the other kids. Like, they just look at them, like, they look up to those kids. They're very, some of them are, like, born leaders.
Yeah, but a lot of things, like, they don't do well in society, but you put them in a structured environment, they follow the rules, like, because they're dying for that structure. You know, they stand in line and they obey the rules, and then they're like model citizens almost.
Because I think a lot of those kids have been neglected, right? They don't have attention, good or bad. Yeah.
Yeah, or guidelines or stuff like that. They don't have that. So when they come in the system, they eat it up. They like it a lot. But I guess sometimes that's too much freedom. This is too much for them also. And I was like, because if you have that structure and then you go out into the real world and you don't have that anymore, it's tough, man. Mm-hmm.
Go wild.
Yeah, I was lucky. I had good. My parents were cool. My family system was really, till this day, real supportive. Then my mom passed away, but like she left me with like some money and stuff like that. So like till this day, she's helping me out through this pandemic from heaven. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, man.
But it's like I need to work. I'm sorry.
But your parents planned that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Your parents worked for a long time to save and grow that life for you guys, right? Like, they own their own business. And then how old were you when your dad passed away?
I was like maybe like 22, 20. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to see me do stand-up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, I was bummed out about that. But my mom did, and I got to take my mom to Hawaii, and we spent Valentine's Day through comedy and stuff. That was really cool. Like,
dude, that's tight.
Edwin's dad's fish market was in my neighborhood. And when he told me about it,
East LA,
we used to steal your dad's tires all the time.
Yeah, we had to change the locks, and they would steal the batteries and stuff like that. And I was always like, it was fucking tweaking.
Your dad
but it was you.
Fish boat. Hey, right there where your dad used to own his business, because I knew because everybody used to wear those big long plastic boots.
The mocks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they used to they looked like they worked at the lunch lady. Do you remember next door the hamburger stand?
Yeah, it was on Stand and Deliver. Was
good, dog.
That was on Stand and Deliver.
Yeah.
He gets mad. He's driving the car and he throws the bottle at and he hits that hamburger stand. I go, oh, that's right there in front of my dad's place. This is like First Street, right? Boyle Heights.
Yeah, First Street.
Yeah.
On the way to downtown from
Boyle. Yeah, Aliso Village, man.
Right before the bridge. Right before the bridges.
I remember that. Man. I never thought that. Like, I knew the people that worked there, but never. Like, I was like, fuck, everybody robs this place. People are selling fish out of the store.
No, it was my dad's place, and then you're robbing from me. And then who knows? Years later, like, dude, like, I'm in your movie.
We gotta make that movie available again. We should have done it this past weekend.
Hey, Edwin, when you started off as a comedian, you moved out and you were living with roommates, right? You were living with Jeff first, and then you moved out again before you moved into a loft, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nightmare.
I remember, man. I remember going to your pad, and I was like, "Fuck, this is like a party pad, eh?"
Guitar, it was like, terrible.
It was like dirty, you know.
What you know,
city? Like, and I was the only one that washed dishes and did laundry. Because he had the master bedroom and the bathroom, and it was supposed to be nice, but then people ended up just using my bathroom because they couldn't use it anymore. It was just like, oh, man, that's gross, bro.
Did it have mushrooms growing in it, like Felipe's?
Then he had beer cans, and he would stack it up, so the whole wall was just full of beer cans. I was, like, proud of it.
When I met Felipe, he had mushrooms growing in his shower.
Hey, those are psychedelic ones.
They were yellow.
I know what they were, man.
You know what they were. Oh,
yeah. We gotta throw it away.
There were actual mushrooms living in the shower.
Well, you stuck around.
Stuck around.
I mean, the whole ground.
He's a fun guy. Up,
huh? And that's my mushroom story.
Moisture. That's fungus, basically.
You went to my house in Denby?
No, this was Boylston.
No, that didn't have mushrooms.
Oh, yes, it did. They were yellow. I saw them. I pointed them out to you. They were in the corner of the shower, yes.
I don't remember.
They were there.
Then there were leaves from a tree growing under.
You're on the second floor. You're on the second floor.
Felipe's son.
We had a comedian from Houston on the show a month ago, Juan Villarreal. Did he live with you guys too, or stay with you guys?
He borrowed money a lot.
Who did? Who was this?
Juan Villarreal. Oh my God. That guy would like sell CDs that he didn't have. After shows, he would get, give me your address and I'll mail it to you. And he just never mailed it.
Got locked up, eh?
He sold hundreds of them like that.
The original Columbia CDs.
Hey, he left a paper trail.
That's the first time the post office is having problems.
He left a lot of weight, man.
He did, huh? I don't know if it was the drugs or what.
No, he said you did.
Oh, I did? Yeah, it was through drugs or what? I don't know, man. I think I'm kind of tan because I've been swimming a lot.
Yeah, you look mad tan, dude.
You're pretty caramel colored.
You look Mexican, bro.
You know, you're about to be an It Man 6.
I had the full beard for a minute. But,
dude, in that pool all day, dude, I'm sure you're going to be tan as hell, dude.
I know. And then, like, our neighbors, I think they could see us. And sometimes I'd be, like, freeballing it. Because I'm trying to get my OnlyFans page, too.
Dude, skinny dipping feels good.
Yeah, and when you're Asian, you can swim fast.
What's the difference
between... Not a lot of drag weight.
What's the difference between skinny dipping and having a pair of thin fabric between?
It just feels you flow better.
A good time and a bad time.
I have a pool right here, man. No. I don't like being naked in that pool. I don't like being naked in the water. No free water. Shower, yes. Bath, yes. Rivers, fuck no. Beach, hell no. Swim pool, fuck no, bro. I always have this. I watch too many of A Thousand Ways to Die.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And, man, after watching... Man, I don't think I'm ever going to jump in a river again.
Yeah, that's a bad show, man.
All those bacteria. You get an amoeba in your nose and you're fucking brain dead in a week.
You grow a mushroom in your nose.
That scares me. A mushroom in your nose.
A mushroom in your nose.
That's what scares me.
But how does that have to do anything with being naked in the pool?
Nothing. I mean, how would you die
naked in the pool?
He's talking about other bodies of water.
Ways to Die, man.
Didn't we watch A Thousand Ways to Die where the guy was naked in the pool and he got electrocuted or something?
Or there's like, different ways to die, dude. It's crazy.
He's like, that got caught or something, dude.
No.
He put his penis inside a little hole where the water
was.
He was like getting a BJ with a little suction.
I was never that down.
It got hard and put it in there, bro, and he couldn't take it out no more. And he was under the water, bro, drowning.
I was mad because they canceled that show. And I was like,
after he died of deep throat.
They always had the worst taglines out there. My favorite one of those Thousand Ways to Die show was that girl who wants to get butt implants, but she couldn't afford it. So she went to this place. Well, it was really a lady who was giving injections in a hotel room. But the injections were that Fix-A-Flat. No, it was Fix-A-Flat. Fix-A-Flat. And it was like silicone like foam. And it poisoned her, of course.
Wow, dude.
But what an idiot. I don't know who would go to a hotel to try and just get some cheap plastic surgery.
I saw one where a guy was trying to like impress a girl on a first date, so he picked up snails from the like his backyard to make a scar go, and they both died.
Oh,
like, romantic and cheap.
Yeah, he's trying to make a scar go, but you do that, you need to like feed them clean for 3 months for them to like to get rid of the toxins, or you'll die.
Yeah, because they've even eaten trash and stuff.
Oh, yeah. God. Who does
that? Is that why they're so expensive? Because they have to like feed them for 3 months?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw one where this girl
got
on a video chat with her husband. And her husband was at work, and like she was getting all naked with him, and she tied herself up, right? And she put tape on her mouth. And then when she was filming this, her husband was watching it, getting horny. A burglar came inside. And the burglar looked at him, and then looked at her, and she was talking to the lady. And she was so scared, and this fool had like, the old chomps breath, like bad breath, like shit, death breath.
Bad breath.
Like shit breath. She got grossed out and she threw up. Duct tape. And when he left, she suffocated.
Oh my God.
She died like Jimi Hendrix, man.
Oh my God. And for them to make new episodes, people need to die in new different ways, you know?
Yeah, they ran out of ways.
People die weird ways.
I saw this.
Yeah,
because
they don't have a 200 ways to die.
They need to wait for people to die weird now.
They're going to have one for millennials because they don't like watching long shows. It'll be one way to die.
Didn't David Carradine die like that too?
Yeah, he had like
in a closet, asphyxiated.
It's kinky.
David Carradine. Yes. No, it was the autoerotic asphyxiation.
Like this.
Although his family denies that.
He choked while he was choking.
All the facts point to that's what was going on. But his family denies.
He's like playing kung fu, and then he ended up killing himself.
Yeah, they feel like that's an embarrassment, but it is what it is.
Where is he?
Yeah. I'm going to kill Bill.
Nobody cares, Zadeen.
Stupid.
Sorry. I had to get at least one bad pun in there.
Hey, Edwin, where did you start doing, when did you get your first TV credit? Que Locos or Funny is Funny?
I think it was Funny is Funny. No, it was Que Locos.
Nice.
I don't think I did Funny's Funny.
Was Jeff Valdez and Mencia?
No, I didn't do that.
What that network was, first, was that right? On?
Was Funny's Funny's first and then Que Locos?
Yeah, it was Funny. It was Latino Laugh Festival first, and then it was Funny as Funny and then Que Locos.
Yeah.
But so Funny as Funny came out on Galavision too, though.
Yeah, it was. Was that in English? It was in English then?
In English. It was just like Que Locos.
Just like Que Locos, but shorter lived.
Yeah. It didn't have as many episodes, and it wasn't as blown up at the end.
I thought it was Mundo.
And there was no tour or anything like that.
No.
Mundo's didn't exist back then.
Mundo's came after. Mundo's was the network after Galavision, remember?
Yeah,
and it was
way
over
after.
There, like LATV distributed it, so it was only the Southwest, maybe, in New York.
It was hard to find.
Yeah, it was very, that. It was on the Puerto Rican tip more and all that, kind
it was
like
East Coast.
Caribbean Latino. Yeah, like Cuba. Like, it wasn't really like, you know, like, Que Locos was the first one to get like kind of like Chicano and Mexican American out.
Right.
So it was pretty funny, though.
It was like MTV Tres, kind of, right?
Mundo? Yeah, that's how like Local Comedy Jam was like, whatever. Shit was dead by that time.
All the
and
East Coast
none of the other ones.
About bananas, plantains.
None of the other ones toured except for Que Locos, right?
No, and then the only thing that had a tour was that Mencia did was that Joey Diaz back in the day, that Loco Slam had a tour, right?
Oh, yeah. Loco Felipe? Slam.
I'm with a nene.
Coco was telling us a story how he got Mencia gave him a job hosting that show.
Joey host?
Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, he was on his podcast and they talk about that. But he told us the story as well. But anyways.
So Las Vegas, when is it going to open up?
I don't know. They keep pushing it back. They said now it says October. But I really don't think it's going to be till like
next year.
Next year.
What's up with
they should just start opening up. They say like don't go out, wear masks, but then they let people come to Vegas. This last past weekend, it was packed.
So people keep spreading it from far, huh?
Yeah. Like on Monday, everyone's trying to leave. It took like 5-6 hours for people just to leave Vegas. So, like they're letting people in the clubs now. They're opening them up. It's like
the casinos are open, right? The gambling.
Yeah, people gambling. I guess they're separating stuff a little bit more, but some casinos are strict with it and others aren't. They're like, fuck it, because some people don't want to wear a mask.
Hell yeah, dude.
They need to get out. What's wrong with
you? Yeah, it's wild. It's, I don't know, man.
That's a big old division right there.
I know that Stoner Rob goes there a lot, but is he doing comedy shows?
It's something I know.
He's doing events where he's just basically passing out stuff, you know. There's good.
I'm actually doing a secret show at the end of the month, like on the 28th. It's like some secret location, and it's like probably illegal to do.
Like Ray's back in the day.
It's like prohibition almost, you know?
Yeah.
But and then they're serving alcohol. I don't think they have a license.
Well, yeah, that's not allowed. When are you doing
it's
that?
It's happening. It's happening.
When are you doing that?
That's on the 25th and 26th. And that's a different venue, but there's a psychedelic show I'm going to do too. So it's going to be like, I get to do like acid or mushrooms. I get to pick which one I want.
Damn.
Mushrooms.
I've done it once. I've done mushrooms once at Casa Latina. And I was on stage and I thought I was killing. And then the promoter had to get me off stage. He was like, dude, it's okay, Edwin. Come on. Let's go.
That's what I say when I bump too, eh? No.
I'm killing right now. What are you talking about?
If you do acid, that's going to be like a 12-hour commitment. It's going to be half a day, pretty much.
The acid is, huh? But, you know, I heard it's really good for people that have, like, post-traumatic, like, stress.
Mushrooms are doing that, too.
I guess it's, like, microdoses, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Microdoses is good for that, right? Yeah.
Real super small ones?
You don't have to do microdosing, but I'm just saying that both of them do the same thing. Anything that crosses the blood-brain barrier is going to make you hallucinate, but it's going to basically reset your wiring, your brain, which is what acid does. But mushrooms does it too. Mushrooms do it too. It's the same thing.
So is one more worse? Like, is acid worse because it messes with your brain?
I did it 3 times. No, they all mess with your brain. I did it 3 times, but it's just a lot harsher. My stomach hurt for hours when I did acid every time. I don't know why. And then it just lasted longer. It was way more intense and it wouldn't stop. I was just tired of it after like 4 hours. This was a long time ago in college. But
when I did shrooms, I threw up because I kind of got nauseated. I was like, ugh. And I was started thinking, oh, this was growing under cow shit.
Well, that's why I kept thinking about acid. I was like, what bathtub was this made in? And what did people use? You know, did they use rat poison? Did they? I don't know who's
made. Or bad trip.
Strychnine, bro.
Yeah, it was kind of starting a bad trip. So I just stopped doing it.
I think I got to do acid and just play with my Marvel superhero toys. And then I'll just be all good tripping. Like,
you got to have all day, though. All day with no responsibilities.
That's me right now.
Give us some of that puppet right now.
Some of the what?
A little quarantine rabbit, eh? Bunny. Can't see him too. Put him away from the light. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Hey, how you guys doing over there?
Charlie McCarthy.
You guys fucking need a fucking little tripper? A little fucking only fucking fans fucking account isn't enough for you, huh? Jerking off in the dark? Yeah, give me a little fucking fungus. Make sure it's not from the restaurant.
on that puppet,
dude. The only thing, I need a real puppet because this one I can't fuck with through its back. So this one,
the mouth don't move.
It does, but it's not a traditional puppet because the little thing is on his head, as you can see here. So I gotta do something. You know, so you get to see a big old fucking a buffalo hand right there, you know? Kind of weird. I need a little fucking backdrop, a cape or something.
A wig, bro. Yeah,
the big Fred Flintstone fingers behind there. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let me get into that account. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody said, Lisa, that your mushrooms were made in the same bathtub with our mushrooms.
I just read that. In your old bathroom with mushrooms.
Oh. You called back that without realizing you called back.
Oh, Edward, do you miss living in downtown LA by the pirate?
I missed that area. That was fun. There was that club downstairs. We throw marshmallows at people in line. That was fun, man. It was kind of cool time. You lived there first with Latham, right?
Yeah, I lived there first, man. I lived there when they were fixing when they were doing construction, a police station, and I remember going to that club.
There wasn't even the police station there.
It wasn't there yet. Yeah,
right? It was all empty. Yeah.
I said they were building it.
Okay. They had
cranes.
You know, I
gotta get
mad.
So then when you moved out, I moved in and I took your spot. And then I remember when you would come and visit, like Lisa, your son would just come start crashing on my bed
because you had
like,
toys.
Yeah,
you had but a he just toy thought store it was, like, in sleeping there.
Spot. So I was like, okay.
You had that little. He loved that little R2-D2.
Yeah.
R2-D2. Oh yeah.
Hey, R2.
Yeah, command
voice
mode.
Commands. Yeah.
Well, was that before you got?
How old is I?
He's 16 now.
Jeez.
Isaac, come here.
He's like 6'2".
6 foot.
You can dunk on Felipe.
Edwin wants to see what you look like now.
You probably don't even remember me, huh?
He remembers you. He said, because I said, oh, we have Edwin as the guest. He said, my Edwin?
Uncle Edwin.
He's a nice, young, handsome young man now.
Yeah.
Thank God he doesn't look like Felipe. I remember Felipe would be walking around like downtown LA with him, and people would be like, "Are you okay?" Like, asking him. Like maybe it was like kidnapping him or something.
He turned that into his joke in his last special.
I used to
I
used to love that pizza place that used to be under your house. It's not there no more.
Oh yeah.
Pit fire.
And that was before it was expensive, right? The whole area?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And then we had like photographers that lived across the hall from us.
Charles,
yeah, and his brother, right? Are they still in LA?
Photos for Cheech and Chong, the Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet one? Yeah. That was a fun day.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, we did that was a fun day. We went shopping for all the stuff. That was cool. And then I seen you in a Target commercial. You're all like gray hair and a suit. And I'm like, damn, that's my boy. I'm so proud of you, Felipe. You're doing it good, man. That's so awesome.
I was so lucky to get that commercial, man. It's like when they pitched, I was like, I didn't have to audition. When the advertisement company pitched the ad to Honda, they did it with me in mind. So they already had my little drawings of me.
Oh,
and I did that one. And Nick Thune, he did the English one, and the guy from The Roots, he did the hipster one.
Oh wow. That's sick,
that was
bro.
My first time speaking Spanish, man. El totalmente Honda fit, un buen fit para ti. The all-new Honda fit, a good fit for you.
Hell yeah, man.
I got lucky that year, man. Yeah. I auditioned for another commercial.
Target.
Target, yeah, and I got it.
Yeah.
That was also the year you did Eric Andre, too, right?
Yeah.
That was the first year.
And now you're like, Eric Andre. What, in Pauly Shore's movie now?
Yeah, Eric Andre. I was on the road, stoned, and I got in front of the mirror, with a light, and I was just wearing my boxers, and I was going like this over and over. Eric Andre, here's my audition tape for your show.
It was just weird. I think you had no shirt on or something, too.
Yeah, I had no shirt on. I was going like this.
It wasn't even an audition. Like, there was no opening. You just, Didn't. And Eric was like, oh, yeah, let's get
and him. And Hannibal said, I'm down. Okay, cool.
And I remember you were saying you had some audition for some part, but you were telling me whenever you go on audition, know who the director is. Because, like, I think you read your lines, like, way too fast.
Yeah.
And then the director's like, it's like that. That's right. From
it
Nacho
was the guy, the guy who did Napoleon Dynamite. He likes people to read slow.
Yeah. So it's like, damn, bro, you're at that level where you're, like, researching directors and stuff like that. That's awesome, man.
That's why Cocksuckers, when I was talking to Joe Diaz, he said, man, you see that list where it says casting director? You're going to look up all the movies that she casted so she can know what kind of style she is. Then you look for the director, what he directed, and the screenwriter, all that. So you get a feeling of what you're reading, and then you read the script.
That's some knowledge right there, bro. That's sick.
Hey, what's her name?
That's my acting
coach told me to tell you hello. I still go there every week. Deborah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Deborah. Yeah. All right. That's good, man. I'm so proud of you, bro.
Thanks, man.
You're doing it. And I think everyone's like, I don't want to say jealous or stuff, but I didn't think that they thought that you would be the one that's doing it right now, bro. So every time I see you and I see you doing successful stuff, it fucking puts a warm spot in my heart, bro, because I know people are against you, or they don't want you to succeed. Yeah. So you're doing it, bro.
Thank you, bro. My focus has always been stand-up. Even when I was a drug addict, I just love stand-up. I have nothing else to do. Like, I don't know how to write books. You know, I'm not a mathematician. You know, I don't have cool cutoff shirts, you know. Like James Hound. You know. I'm not multi-talented. I just know how to write jokes. And that's all I love, man. And I always tell people, man, just if you really like something, just do that, man. And even if you have a side job, focus on what you really love and try to put in a lot of hours into it, and it pays off.
It sure does.
The great thing is that a lot of the things that you get, just like the Honda thing, are not things that you're going out and auditioning for. They're being written for you. You know, like Superstore, they wrote you into that.
Yeah.
You know, even though you auditioned for some other roles, they wrote a part for you. And then Eric Andre, that wasn't an audition, you know, and even the Pauly Shore thing, there was no audition for that. He called you.
Yeah, man.
I went, bro, I need you.
Somebody asked me about how'd you get that movie, Guest House. I said, man, I've been doing that for 26 years. And the list of people who I fucked over is smaller than the fucking list I was cool with, eh? So I have a lot of people who I was always cool with. And I always tell people, man, be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
And if you're in this a long time, sooner or later, people will run out of people to call, and they'll remember to call your ass. For real, man. You're
fucking right, bro. I like that.
I saw the list of Guest House and the people that were in it, and I know that the people that are in the movie are because they picked up the phone when Pauly called them. Because Alicia Cooper, I know she when Pauly called her, you know, Pauly called her, and she said, all right. Eric Griffin, Bobby Lee. And when I got the phone call, I was like, what? He goes, hey, buddy, you want to be in a movie? I said, hell yeah. Where do I audition? You don't got to audition, buddy. You just got to memorize these lines by tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, okay, there were a lot of lines. So I had to call up my acting coach and go over it because it was a whole paragraph.
Right.
Then I started thinking about it. Wait, don't sweat this. You're marrying somebody. Just think about how many marriages you've been in or seen, and I watched a bunch of videos, and I remembered, okay, we are, and I tried to do it like Richard Pryor, when he was doing the funeral, we are gathered here!
Right. So wait, did you mess up on purpose, or did they write that line so you messed up?
The mess up was on purpose, they were written like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I read it, I go, oh, he fucked his line up, but he probably wanted them to do it like that. Like,
no, they told me to do it like that.
Yeah, because you said like wife, or instead of wife, you said life or something like that, right?
Life, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they told me to do it like that.
That's good, man. That's good.
That was cool, man. And then, what's his name? Steve Byrne.
Right.
He wrote a movie about his first time opening up for somebody. I think the movie's called Opening Night.
Opening act, I think.
Opening act.
Yeah.
And he gave me a little rope driving a cab, eh?
Nice. Okay. Didn't they film some of that at the Old Bray Improv?
No. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then they shot film in the mountains, and I remember driving with the camera filming me, and I felt like cool, bro. I felt like I was a cop. even though I was doing that movie in my head, I was doing my own movie. Hey, where I'm gonna
watch that? Harvey Keitel and Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, or Taxi Driver, bro.
Ah, dude,
that's awesome.
Yeah, man, I just like craft service.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
The other movie too, the Seventh and Union. You did an audition for that, right?
Oh, that's right, Seventh and Union. I did a movie during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. For
the first time, bro, I didn't spend all day in the dressing room. Usually when I go work, I'm only in for one line.
Oh, because you had more lines.
I'm in one line, and then I go home. Or I wait in the dressing room for like 10 hours. You know, but this time, I was about to lay down and relax. They came knocking in my room. All right, we're ready to shoot. And then I ended up being outside most of the day, man.
Oh, wow.
But I'm good. I was glad to be in that movie because I was the main star's friend. And I was just, I'm in every scene almost, but with no lines afterwards.
Yeah,
that's still good though, bro.
Yeah,
but I got a bunch of lines in. I threw them in there and shit, you know. It's funny, man. What's the name? We had him on a podcast, Oscar Torre.
Oscar Torre,
right? And that fool had a mic, and we were both mic. And I remember he started talking during one scene. He goes, do we have lines? So let me tell you something. They put a microphone on you, you start talking.
You want to catch any gems?
Is your little daughter into stand-up comedy?
She's funny, man. She's filming her own TikToks. She's directing her own little things already.
Hell yeah.
And she's on it. Like, she knows like how to put filters on things. Like, man, it's crazy. I don't know if I'm a good parent or a bad parent, but I don't. Like, she watches whatever's on YouTube. I'll catch something out. What the fuck are you watching? Turn that shit off. But I remember when I was little, I was only limited to watch so much like stuff. But like, she'll put it down and say, "Let's play." Like,
yeah,
it's not me like trying to tell her like, you know, like I don't know. I don't want to be like too much this and too much that.
I think that some of those things, though, there's so much that kids can watch these days on their own and you won't ever find out about anyway. I feel like totally. That if they are young, really young, and they stumble across some of those things, I think that's a time where you can actually like teach them something or have a conversation.
Yeah, teachable moment.
You know what I mean? Like you can have a conversation about it and then they know, okay, well, maybe that's not cool to watch, but you know. My dad didn't like put the smack down, you know, and say I can't watch anything or whatever. We had at least had a conversation about it. I think you're doing fine, Edwin.
I think that's what I meant to say.
As long as she feels loved and everything, you know. I'm sure you're
good. Is she out of school because of the pandemic too?
Yeah, she was supposed to start kindergarten. So I'm gonna have to start homeschooling her. We've been working on stuff that's all behind me, little art projects and stuff like
that. Nice.
Yeah, so she knows how to spell her name, and she knows the alphabets and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's a lot of responsibility. I don't even remember how I learned how to read. Do you?
Yeah.
I don't remember how I learned. I remember learning a letter a day, going to school, and learning the alphabet. But, like, when did I put, like words together to spell the? And
it just happens, bro.
It just happens. Yeah.
I remember playing going to my cousin's house, and we're playing Scoof, and my cousin Nancy taught me how to read in one day.
Wow!
Yeah, taught me how to read in school, but I wasn't paying attention or I couldn't follow it. But one weekend, her and I we sat together, and she was teaching me like a teacher, and I got it, bro.
Wow, dude, you could like teach my daughter, and then my daughter would be like, "Hey, B."
I remember I was trying to hold a book like this, and there were too many words, and I couldn't concentrate. And she got me a little slide rule. Just read the
one sentence. Oh, yeah.
He blocks every that? Sentence like this. You just read one sentence at a time. Don't look at the whole word. So just read like this, slow. So one day I didn't need my hand or a thing to block.
That's awesome, bro. See, like, those are like building tools, like Lisa was talking about, right? Those are teachable moments and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think reading can happen even if you don't actually formally teach it. You know, if you're exposed to letters and you know the sounds, eventually people will put it together naturally. They won't be great if they don't get a lot of practice reading, but, you know, and everybody's different at their own pace, too. Everybody expects 5 years old or 6 years old to be able to start reading, but, you know, other kids come later and they learn, and then they're great readers right away. So it doesn't really matter.
Somebody wrote Pinoy Power. I want to go to Hilo, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. Hilo's a shit, dude.
That guy, man, he's a big fan of yours. That guy,
Mariner,
Edwin.
Oh, okay.
He went to your show.
Does he rap or stuff like that too, or no?
No, he's a big Filipino guy.
Business dude, has a couple little locations, right?
Yeah.
Is he in Seattle? Is that guy based in Seattle?
No, he's based in Hilo.
Oh, Hilo. Oh, Hawaii. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he went to your show and he took a photo with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then I was going to Hawaii. He comes to the Bay, right? In Vegas a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas is considered the ninth island to Hawaii. They call Vegas the ninth island. There's so many Hawaiians down here.
Yeah, right? What's better? Filipino Vegas food or Filipino LA food?
I would say LA because that was more of my mom cooking it, maybe.
Yeah.
My wife gets down, but it's not like my mom's cooking. I gotta cook, like, if I wanna taste my mom's cooking, I gotta do it. Like, but they got a hard time chopping onions and stuff.
What's it like to perform every day?
Like, man, I thought it was gonna be. Before the pandemic hit, I was kind of getting like, am I burning out on this or what? But it forces me like, okay, I got to try something new today. I got to try this and try that. So, man, my set was so tight and solid. I was just ready to record it. But I just didn't get an opportunity to record it yet. So,
is your audience a mixture of locals and tourists?
Some locals, but mainly tourists. And then predominantly seniors, a lot elderly. So it's, and then from there it goes white, black, Latino, and then Asian. But
surprising because there's a huge Asian population that goes out to Vegas. So right, are they not pulling them into the shows?
Yeah, they're mostly like, working.
I meant as tourists and gamblers. You know, they always go after the Asian gamblers in these casinos because they've got bigger books and they're more liberal about gambling with them. But like all those commerce and all those places, you know, they cater to the Asian gamblers that come.
They'll bust them.
Vegas, I remember before they bring like soups, trays of soup to them. Yeah, they can eat while
right
they gamble.
To the table. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, Asian soup too. So you know they're catering to them.
My friend is Korean, but she knew all the Asian table games, and she was raised by a white family and. Pennsylvania, but she knew all the Asian table games and she took me around to all of them. They're really interesting, but I couldn't remember any of them. I kept losing money left and right. But yeah, it was a whole different world. You got to know all these different hand signals.
Yeah, it's scary.
And secrets.
It's like Deer Hunter. You know, you're going to be like shooting yourself in the head.
No, not like that.
You know that comedian Diaz Mackey?
Yeah. Would he get like kind of got sticky fingers a little bit, and then he got like accused for like raping somebody.
No way. I didn't hear that.
We think about the right guy.
No, some girl, another comedian accused him of like that, but I guess they were dating for a while. I don't know. It was big talk out here for a while, for a minute, but that's why you bring him up?
Get over here.
He's here now?
I didn't make it over here or to the faithful.
The thanks rumor.
For having the podcast.
Watch your back, Jack. Oh, hey, what's up, Diaz?
I did a, when we went there to Vegas, we always go to Chinatown and we eat at the vegan spot over there. It's bomb, bro.
Ooh, off of Spring Mountain?
Spring Mountain, yeah. Right there in Chinatown area. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, then the donuts place.
Off the strip.
Everybody is mentioning your food, bro. They're saying lumpia always, pancet, adobo with bomb, Salt Lake. Now I'm hungry. Somebody said pancet. It's funny how you say about on your in your act when the Latinos heckle you, they start yelling out food.
Or the Filipinos, they yell out the fair food.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like adobo.
Somebody said that Edward San Juan should hang out with Pauly Shore now that Pauly Shore lives in Las Vegas.
Is Pauly permanently in Vegas, or he's
there,
like,
now? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his residency. I heard like Joe Rogan and all them moved out too to Texas.
Austin.
Yeah. Austin.
Austin Comedy Club will close down. The Cap City Comedy Club.
Cap City closed for good after 35 years.
Wow. Well, so everybody's moving out of L.A. or what?
A few.
Everybody that wasn't born there.
Well, a lot of comedy store spots have opened up. Let's just say that. So, Joe Rogan, Theo Von, right? No, he's
Theo Von.
He is moving. And then Brendan Schaub, right?
Yeah.
Brian Callen's out of the picture for his own issues. Duncan moved.
Ari.
Del Rey.
Ari moved to New York. Dean already was out.
Felipe said, those are the people that just lived in Hollywood. They didn't know anywhere else in LA. They didn't know fucking about Cerritos or fucking Montebello, you know?
No. Right. Yeah.
They don't know about Lancaster.
Or even the Valley. Yes. Like, they just wouldn't touch it.
So they think all of LA is expensive, you know?
I know, man. You can live large in Lancaster, man, and just drive to L.A. every morning, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. Fucking $200,000 houses in Lancaster. That's crazy, man.
You can live in Lancaster and drive to L.A. and rent out somebody's couch for the morning, eh?
Dude, when I do Lyft, I'll go to Lancaster like almost like every like some other like every other day, dude. It's not that far. It's like, yeah.
But, man, if you had to commute that every day, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That would be brutal.
And then with traffic, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, you have to go through doesn't that take you through the grapevine every day if you're going up
No. You go through the 14.
Oh, that's the 14.
Yeah, kind of like Santa Clarita, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not that bad, but it's still like a long drive, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool? We have shows coming up. We're going to be in Wise Guys Comedy Club in Utah. And I just booked a show at the Irvine Spectrum.
Oh.
It's going to be a drive-in show.
One show.
September 25th. One show only. They're charging you per car, not per person. So if you have a car and you could fit 10 people in it, you could watch the show. You could
buy a
minivan and open it up and let everybody come out. It's BYOB. Okay. There will be no alcohol sold. So just consider this like a fucking, we're going to call it the Felipe Esparza Comedy Lowrider Show.
Yeah.
I think it's going to turn into a lowrider show.
Lowrider show and what else?
Tailgate party.
Yeah. I was doing an interview everybody earlier. They asked me, have you ever done a drive-in show? I said, I think I'm going to do our first one September 25th. It's going to turn into a lowrider show, man.
People are going to
heckle me with hydraulics. People are going to blink the lights when the show sucks. And second show will be September 26th. These are my only LA County shows. September 26th. Norco, California, Silver Lakes.
Whoa.
Drive-in.
Silver Lakes Drive-in. That place seats 400 cars. So
damn.
I don't know what they're gonna charge. So if you have
I think that's the same. It's charged per car.
They're gonna charge per car.
Because that's so
what you the IE, huh? Car in the drive-in, and then you stand up where the movie screen is.
I guess they're gonna project me on a big screen.
Couple screens, yeah.
Oh. And
people are gonna listen to it through their
on the radio.
Speakers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the radio. And
also there'll be outdoor speakers too.
Nice. Yeah,
that's a great idea.
I heard that Tommy T's Comedy Club, Gary Owens sold out 10 shows, and I think they're about, I don't know how many seats they have, 150?
And 150.
They passed out headphones to the audience.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And Gary Owens had headphones too, and he spoke through a microphone, and through the microphone, people heard it through the headphones, kind of like those silent disco parties.
Wow, that's crazy, dude. That's like fucking Demolition Man, dude.
And I think All Things Comedy, they're doing something similar, but it's similar but different. It's like Zoom, but they have, I guess, 100 screens with 100 people watching, and then you just perform like, hey, how you doing? Window number 5.
But it's a whole wall of people.
I've seen something like that. That's crazy.
Pretty virtual then, huh?
But they said that they can control, like they said, if they leave the mics on for everybody, so you can hear laughter. But if somebody starts heckling or they have a lot of background noise, they'll drop them in favor and swap out somebody else who wants to get in and watch. So then
they'll be on it.
Control it.
So it's like a control panel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like cyberpunk right there.
So it'll be.
Someone said that they went to a rock concert, like in that same place, Silver Lakes, and they ended up having sex in the car instead.
Nice.
Imagine that, dog. What happened, bro? I was being heckled by these perverts having sex in the car.
Through these foggy windows.
That's going to be an experience, right?
Yeah, it'd be fun, yeah, dude.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, that's the only way to do it, shit.
For now, huh? And some comedy clubs are opening up, but only to 100 seats, but they're doing 6 shows.
Oh, wow. So crazy. I wonder if
I don't think California is going to open up from what I hear from my agent.
Not for the rest of the year.
No improv is going to open up. Sad, huh?
Yeah.
Still crazy.
Cut the roof of the fucking comedy clubs, dude.
Rodrigo, how about you, bro? Riverside Community Center, underground show, nothing?
The dude at that spot, they said they can't do it because it's enclosed.
Oh.
It's roof. Like.
Yeah, the roof of the fucking the Riverside where we used to do the show there.
No, the only thing is right there, and then it's that stuff right there in downtown. So they're all regulating all those spots, dude. Any place that had live entertainment, dude, in downtown. The only option, because, I mean, I wanted to do one here at the house, but my wife's like, I don't want anybody in our restroom. I'm like, I don't care, but I mean, he doesn't want anybody.
I don't have a restroom either.
So, get a porta potty.
But I have an idea because.
You're like Bernie Man, bro, in the desert.
My dad built his little restroom, but I don't think he's going to let me use it. But listen, I try to convince him. At my parents' house, they have a garage up in the on the top, and you could like seat like 150 people right there, dog, and it's open.
How much does little bathrooms cost to rent?
On a porta potty? I don't know, about $200, something like that.
Remember how Jose needs to do the shows?
Like, yeah, I was just thinking about him.
That's a dude. Because the only other thing I said that might knock it down is the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sound. Like,
but everybody seems cool over there, but I don't know yet.
Yeah, Rancho, bro.
Hey, when Edwin was living in a loft, that fool ordered the De La Hoya fight and had a fucking comedy show and the De La Hoya fight and charged people to get in.
Nice.
All you can drink. Remember that?
Yeah. It was the De La Hoya and Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a little comedy show, bro.
Yeah. That was like 2008 then.
Joe Diaz was there. Who else was it? It was a lot.
Willie Joe Marone.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I remember that. That was fun watching that Filipino beat the Mexican guy up.
Yeah.
It's a role reversal.
That's funny, man. You were the only one rooting for him.
Yeah.
That was like 12 years ago. That shit. Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many people you have in there?
Maybe about what? Maybe 50 or 60?
Maybe 50, probably, yeah. Because it was two rooms, right?
Two rooms.
Yeah. Some people sat in the other room, and then other people sat in that other.
We had a bar there.
I thought those chairs were going to break. Everything was pretty janky. I thought somebody's going to hurt themselves.
That's so funny,
there was this lawsuit written all over it, everywhere.
I remember when Edwin was late on the rent, they would leave the house because they knew the landlord was coming.
I wasn't late on my end.
I remember, bro. I remember, man, me and Lisa got into a fight. And I didn't want to go home. And you were out of town. And your roommate was out of town. And I was like, oh, fucked up, bro. Where am I going to stay at it? It's been a day in the streets already. And I remember... My ID still had your address, bro. And I fucking called up a locksmith, and that fool opened the door for me, bro. It took a little nappy.
Damn. I didn't know
my
that.
Bad,
eh? That was the night before. Was that the night before you were supposed to film the movie?
No.
I thought it was the night before.
The deported?
No, I'm not like that no more. I thought that was the day before.
It was fun to see that movie, right?
You were loaded.
That was a great time.
All of it
was good. For working with Paul Rodriguez.
Orale.
Right?
Tell everybody how long you held that vomit in your mouth.
Oh, man. I forgot about that. I threw up on the chick, huh?
You threw up on that girl, and the other girl threw up on Sean. And I remember, like,
it was nasty.
They made a Campbell's soup with another Campbell's soup. Right. And it was green peas and some kind of carrot clam chowder. And it was so gross and warm. And we had to hold it for a whole scene like this.
And then they
got tired of holding it. He'll throw it. And then they'll give him another one.
And we had to do, like, two or three takes, too, right? It was bad. But I'll do it all over again, man. That was a great experience. Fuck yeah. That was fun, dude.
Really funny, dude.
Hell yeah, bro. Hopefully we could do more movies, man. Right now we're trying to do a movie that George came up with. George Perez, he came up with an idea, and they wrote a screenplay for it. And it's already shot. Not shot, but already written, called Brothers. It's called Breaking Out Grandma and George Perez. Idea, and we play brothers.
You play cousins
at different dads, and from different dads, but from the same mom. You know,
cousins from two different moms.
Cousins from two different moms. Our mom were savages, bro, and they ran off and left them with our grandma. So the whole thing is about that. And for right now, we've been trying to get funding a year now, right?
It's been a year, but also the pandemic pushed us back like 6 months. So.
Yeah,
we had a director in place and everything, but it fell through because everything got put on hold. So we're trying to start over.
Still trying.
Keep at it, man. You're not trying. You're doing it, bro.
Yeah.
You're just badass.
What's
up? Take me on the road with you. Save my marriage.
Yeah, I will, dog. You're going to have OnlyFans, bro.
I have a thing called OnlyFans.
You can start a page called Only Laughs. Eh?
Only Pan.
You know. Hey, what shows you got coming up, Edwin?
I got that psychedelic show on the 19th where I do acid or mushrooms. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. And then I got that super show on the 25th and 26th. So it's only one show, 9 o'clock. And tickets are on sale on Eventbrite under, I think it's Edwin San Juan's Secret Show.
Edwin San Juan's Secret Show. And they can email you on Instagram for more information.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or Edwin San Juan at Gmail.
Are you giving out your personal email address?
Personal. people see my wife's vagina. Really, my personal email is not going to
I saw a funny video of your wife on TikTok. I was going to ask you if I could share it. It was funny, man. It was that one with a Blink 182 song. when you're standing all alone by yourself. Okay. And I'm just a kid. It starts out with her I guess when she used to work as a dancer when she was 19.
Right.
And it goes to her now in the house as a housewife.
Yeah.
She was hilarious, dog.
But we still have a pole in the living room. My house is crazy, bro. It's a pole in the living room, a mirror upstairs.
They play Ring Around the Rosie when they're going to sleep.
My daughter can freak the stripper pole. She's like 5 years old. Like,
bro, you know what, bro? Just give her a fireman suit and she'll play fireman, bro.
Ghostbusters. Put out
fires, eh?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, right?
Well, so, Rizzo, when is your podcast going to pop up?
Tonight, me and my girlfriend are recording a new episode. And then, you know, Jingle will have a new episode coming out tomorrow of the Podcasters del Norte.
You can check out a new episode of Yeah Man Podcast out now.
Yeah, man.
And everybody's asking about the song that opens your special, and that's by Tropa Magica. And you can, they have a new album right now. If you follow them on social media, you can ask them all those questions. They'll answer you. But they have a new album, and I think the album might only be on vinyl, but they have other songs on Spotify and stuff like that. So
check that's a good out. Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, well, also about what's cool about Tropa Magica, if you buy the vinyl, that guy, I can think of one of the, what's his name, Beto Pacheco, one of the guys?
Bien Pacheco?
Huh?
Bien Pacheco, yeah.
Rene. Bien Pacheco, the guy, he draws a drawing on the vinyl, mm-hmm. and it's always like a different drawing on it, and people like collecting those. And they gave me one, and I swear to God, it looked like he started drawing it, but he didn't finish it. But everybody else, you get a full drawing with a little painting on your vinyl. I could go get it, but it's half done, mine.
That's his style, bro.
I think I got the OnlyFans copy. Special edition.
Also, yeah, shout out to El Cocinero on Sepulveda. Still hooking up the food every time I go there. It is bomb.
You should get your own burrito like Travis Scott has his own meal at McDonald's.
Bro, I have my own hamburger at a place I've never been to.
Dude, before Travis Scott, man.
Also, man, one time Edwin ate the nastiest hamburger ever. He ate.
Was it a challenge?
A double cheeseburger with peanut butter and jelly on a cream bun.
Wow. I'm down.
It sounded good, but it wasn't all that.
Was it an affair?
Peanut butter your palate, dude.
No, I think it was this place called Slater's or something like that.
Oh, in Pasadena, right?
So, yeah, they had a peanut butter jelly cheeseburger.
Slater's.
I was stoned at the time. It sounded good. Must have been sober when I ate it.
I was gonna say,
going out. Sorry.
What? I was going to say, my girlfriend's Filipina, and every time I pick up Filipina ladies doing lifts, and I tell them that my girlfriend's Filipina, they always ask me questions. Like, what's your 5-year plan over there? Like, do you have a good job? I'm like, what? Like that, dude. Like, you guys don't work?
She's a nurse.
They give you the 20 questions, huh?
You should just shut them up and say she's only half. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Like, you guys are Diaz? What's going on here?
Do not let them sleep with her and her sister and their whole family.
So funny.
All right, Bunny Grover. All right, it's time to go.
They're licking my neck. What's up, fools? There you have it. September 25th, Irvine Spectrum on top of the roof.
Woo!
Charging per car. September 26th, Silver Lakes Drive-Ins. And we might have a show coming up in the future. Look out for that show. We haven't signed the deal, but we'll see what happens, people.
Hell yeah.
Also, everybody, don't forget to take time off your day and turn off your computer and go do something, like go for a walk, take a deep breath. You don't have to go fight everybody over politics every day. Don't forget that before there was the internet, there was a world out there that we used to have fun at. And we used to walk to the park and say hi to people with a mask on. But a lot of people are going crazy right now, man. Like, I've seen people fall off the wagon. I mean, people who I really thought were sane are falling off to the right. They're falling off to the left. So many people are falling for these conspiracy theories and these fake pages. Today, I got fooled by a fake page, and I finished a whole article before I tweeted it. And halfway through a story, I was going to repost it, but I'm glad I finished reading the whole post because the whole article was fake. It was a joke. The article started off with on Google. I clicked on it, and they said, Disneyland moves to Texas.
I see that one too.
You got that one too?
Yeah, I believed it. Like, what?
Disneyland moves to Texas. And all the excuses that they had for leaving were the same reason that Joe Rogan left.
Spotify deal.
Yeah.
Take away my freedom.
Why would Disney say more freedom?
Yeah.
They own everything, dude.
I finished a whole article, and I didn't repost it, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people were pissed off and reposted it.
Oh, yeah.
People reading it. And it says on the bottom, the disclaimer, three times, this is a fun page. It's a satire, but people fall for it.
Right? Yeah.
Dude.
It's like the tabloids, bro. I married Bigfoot. What?
Remember back in the day, like about a couple years ago, when idiots were like reposting the Onion stories thinking it was real?
Yeah. Like, Donald Trump did it.
You're like, dude, what? All right, bro.
Yeah, there's also the Borowitz report, which is
that's another one.
New York Times. And that one looks a little more like legit. Legit because it's Times and it's got a guy's name and it's real small there that this is set there.
A lot of people, it goes to show, like, you know, people don't look at fine print, you know?
It also shows how crazy our news is. That some of the everything's can be like believed.
Out like journalism and stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that's good that you guys say that. That's really good. Even just to be able to get out and get and walk, you know?
Yeah, for real, man. People are crazy, but they need to turn out their computer every once in a while because.
Hit the treadmill, bro.
I remember like 4 years ago, I filed for this. I remember like leaving somebody a comment and then we're arguing all day. And I couldn't go through my whole day without going back to see what this asshole said. Then I'm trying to figure out where that motherfucker lives, dog. You know? Then I started going through his page. Then I finally said, motherfucker, I know where you live now, motherfucker. I know exactly what street you live on. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to wait for you. Then that fool blocked me.
I'm waiting right here, motherfucker. Where are you, dog? Where the fuck are you?
What's up, Edwin? You're going to dye that beard like a rainbow or Lakers colors?
I was going to be a garden gnome for my mushroom garden.
They're canceling trick-or-treating out here in California. Are you guys having trick-or-treating over there?
Our neighborhood gets
down. For Halloween events? Yeah.
But my neighbor across the street, he's like a Ghostbuster impersonator. So they do like birthday parties and just a Ghostbuster. Wow. So he has like his whole house is going to be decorated Ghostbusters. And then we're going to do our house like a Nightmare Before Christmas. Wow. So like our neighborhood gets down. We live in the end of a cul-de-sac. So it's like, it's kind of cool.
That's nice.
But other than that, we're not going to go anywhere else. I think it's too dangerous.
I bought a lion costume for my dog Squishy. It has a big old lion head. It came with a big lion head.
Amazing.
And it also came with a little bushy little ball to stick on the tail, so you got a little lion tail. Wow. And I got my other dog with no front teeth. I got my little bat outfit, so it could be a little chimuelo, bro.
Little Wuhan bat.
Hungry bat. Talking about all these dogs.
You're getting hungry, is that what you said?
He's gonna eat his dog's
dressing.
What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres, Martin Rizzo. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Edwin,
thank you, dog.
Follow Edwin on Instagram.
Yes, sir.
Private show and his private parts.
His wife's private parts.
All right, yeah. James, thank you, fool. Can't wait for the documentary to come up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, James, man. When is the album coming out?
We're almost done mixing it. And,
just left.
It'll be out by the end of the year.
Okay, well, when you have it out, let's have all the Slaughter Before Slaughter people on, and then we'll do like a combo.
That's going to be very interesting.
And it'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. No, see you. You know what? Bye, Edwin.
Later, guys.
Bye, Edwin.
Bye, Edwin.
I had fun. I love dogs. All right.